similar to his pattern at Miller Road Baptist Church, Dave had been committing adultery with several married women at Pinellas Park Baptist Temple. His church secretary became a prostitute. She had the tattoo, calling herself Dave's Girl, tattooed into her thigh. Yet, for all this, nobody warned the next church that Dave attended about what was being unleashed on their church when he walked through the doors. These days, Pinellas Park Baptist Temple is now known as Cross Point. They changed their name. Everett Ferris has moved supposedly into a sort of a emeritus status, and Chris Ferris and Jonathan Ferris have taken over the pastoral duties. The church still maintains, then, an unbiblical form of rulership, in which you have a dynasty of the pastor's family in place and no session of elders to execute a biblical form of church discipline across the church. For a couple years, the Ferris boys strenuously objected to my assessment that all of them should be out of the pulpit and that they needed to repent for what they had done. Then, finally, there was some grudging admission that, yes, it had been wrong, and there was an account that they had repented. I don't know. I think the question is still open, but I will leave them to it. But if you attend that church, you do need to be aware of this history so you can make up your mind about how expedient it is for you as a Christian to be in a church that is ruled by a dynasty. There's still a lot there that leaves me in doubt. As I said, Dave went to Berean Baptist Church in Orange Park, Florida, pastored by Tom Neal. I contacted the police, the sheriff's department up there, as I said. Eventually, Dave left Berean in a great hurry, and one or two people who posted on the FFF and said that they were members of the church declared that when Dave left, he had a black eye. He was saying he walked into a door. Dave next went to First Baptist of Jacksonville, pastored by Southern Baptist pastor Jerry Vines. I gathered again my packets of documentation. I sent one packet to Jerry Vines. I sent one packet down to the either Sheriff's Department or Police Department of Jacksonville. I was never able to speak with Jerry Vines. I spoke with his personal assistant. She eventually stopped returning my calls and would not answer me. Apparently, Dave was admitted into the church, and the congregation was not warned, and they did this with full knowledge of his history, which I supplied them. I received a call from a detective from the police department who assured me that all of my claims against Dave were mistaken. None of that had happened. It was all a big mistake, and everything was going to be all right. Rather than sin in my words, I thanked the officer and hung up. Most recently, I've heard that Dave has gone to Texas. I don't know that this is true. He may still be in the Jacksonville area. My last message to Jerry Vines' personal assistant was that if I ever heard of any scandal coming out of that church caused by Dave Hiles, I would publish to the world that they let him into that church with full knowledge of all that he had done. For my efforts in making this documentation public and attempting to warn Jerry Vines and suggest that he make his congregation aware of this person who was being brought into their midst, evangelist Tim Lee declared that I was a meddler and it was none of my business. I think it's important to look back on Dave's life and tally up that in almost 30 years of abusive sexual behavior, some of it criminal, after having broken up around 20 marriages, destroying the lives of the families in 20 families, being the prime suspect in the suspicious death of a child, having a second child die in extremely mysterious and unusual circumstances, Dave Hiles has never, ever had a problem getting into an independent fundamental Baptist church or even a Southern Baptist church. That is something that people who want to proudly proclaim that they are Baptist should really take to heart. All Christians should take it to heart. That currently there is very little obedience to biblical mandates to make sure that wolves are not released into the fold. Dave has never shown appropriate signs of repentance. He has never been asked for appropriate signs of repentance. He has never been held accountable to display the appropriate signs of repentance. Since I started documenting these abuses in 2001, I decided that what I needed to do was build what I call the Roll Call of Shame, a documented account of the names of men, and as much as I can get, the names of the churches who have violated the office of pastor with sexual sin or crime. The reason that I do this is because in fundamental Baptist churches, there is no accountability, just as Dave Hiles did. He was a prime suspect in the suspicious death of a child, yet he was able to preach at conferences. He preached for Bob Gray in Longview, Texas. He was accepted onto church staff at Pinellas Park Baptist Church. There's no governing mechanism in place to make sure that these men who commit the most heinous of crimes or grossest of sins are put out of the ministry and kept out of the ministry. There is no means to warn church congregations. So I maintain the roll call of shame. As of today, when I'm recording this, which is April 23rd, 2006, there are 17 people from Hiles Anderson College who are on the roll call of shame, and an additional half dozen from other independent fundamental Baptist churches who are on the roll call of shame. I expect that number to grow. In fact, right now I'm looking at the Charles Shiflett case, and if and when Shiflett is indicted for 8 counts of criminal acts against children, he will become, Lord willing, the 18th person to be on the roll call of shame. Shiflett, though not a graduate of Hiles Anderson College, billed himself as a Hiles man and expressed the same slavish devotion to Jack Hiles that Everett Ferris had once expressed.